Okay, we're learning Michtam Eliyahu in the Hebrew volume 1, page 47. We're speaking about givers and takers. And we're coming towards the end of this essay, but at the moment he's going to bring up quite a critical point. This was a point that did come up in the last class, and we'll see it clarified here as follows. The 12th chapter here is called Ha'olam HaMetukan. Ha'olam HaMetukan, the perfected world, the world that has been rectified and fixed and to act as it should. What's the ideal? What is the ideal that we're striving for? How do we ideally want the world to run? What are we working towards, hopefully, now? When we say world here, by the way, world in the general sense can mean the entire world, but for each individual it means our world, each person's own world, or the people he meets, the people he has contact with, the people in his realm of influence. That's your world, right? Each person has his own world. So what is the perfect world? What is the world that's remedied or rectified as it should be, that we should be striving towards? Shaluni, they asked me, he's referring to his students, they asked me, in the emes chafetz Hashem yizbor, shelo ye odom lenoitel, if in truth Hashem desires that a person should not be a taker, if that's really what Hashem wants, that's Hashem's plan, that's what he wants, that any person should not be a taker, rather that he should be satisfied and happy with whatever comes to him by itself, but that which life naturally gives him, he should learn to be happy with that and to enjoy it, right? And not to, without being greedy for more, being happy with what naturally comes into his realm. In kein lama boris anoshim b'olam echod. If so, this is the question they asked. Why were people created all together in a single world? Why are there so many of us, each one in one world? V'yasem chevratim, where we live a social type of life. Right? We're social creatures, we live amongst other people, we talk to other people, we interact with other people. Right? Not each person's in his own cell, in his own world. Hashem could just as easily have done it. It's not a problem for Hashem to put each one of us in his own unique world. We know there's a teaching of the rabbis that the entire world is worthwhile even for one person. We know there's another teaching that says that every tzaddik is destined to inherit 310 worlds in the world to come. 310 worlds, you know, so you'd have to spend a little bit of time in each one. But in the meantime, the other 309 worlds will be desolate until you pop in, right? Mm-hmm. See what's doing there. So therefore, it's not a problem technically. So how come is it that Hashem has thrown us all together into a single world? Surely it would have been better for each person to be created in his own unique world. And then there wouldn't be any place for jealousy, and there wouldn't be for competitiveness. Right, not to feel resentment, because we see people have more than us, and it annoys us, it irks us. Right? How come he's got more? What? He's not better than me. So why is he above? Why am I below? Why does he have this and that, and I don't have the same thing? So there shouldn't be that jealousy. There shouldn't be that anguish. There shouldn't be that whole inner rage that a person feels, a resentment that he's not getting a fair deal. So how can I enjoy what I have when I see someone has what I would like and I don't have? Right? So my answer to them, to the students, as Rav Desla, my answer to them was a double answer as follows. Rishoina, first, ilo lo nivro adam chevrati, lo haya boiche beinatila nesina. If a person wasn't born as a social creature and living in a society amongst other people, he could not choose between giving and taking. There'd be no free choice. You'd be forced. If you're living all by yourself, so then the only person you have to take care of is yourself, and there's no one else in your world, so therefore there's no room, there's no one to give to, there's no one to take from, there's no one to give to. Right? You're living on a desert island all by yourself. That's it. There's no giving. There's no taking. Ela netilais and nishlelus mimena b'koyach hateva. The ability to take from others would be denied, would be removed naturally if he was in his own world. Aval chofetz Hashem bebriyas ha'odam haya sheyavchin bein tov l'ra. The desire of Hashem in creating a person was that he, the person, should discern with his own intelligence the difference between good and evil. He should see this is good and this is evil. And by the way, we all have that built into us. We all have an ability to discern between good and evil, what's fair and what's unfair, right? What's right and what's wrong. Every single person in the world, including non-Jews, every person has this built. In fact, this answers the question, the classical question. It says we're all equal. How come we all equal? It says all people are equal. What are they equal? Some people have a fantastic upbringing and they reared with the best parents and with the best surroundings, with the best teachers and the best care, and etc. etc. Some people are born in the gutter. Some people are naturally very intelligent. Some people are naturally quite dull. It doesn't work so well until they have something. It takes them a long time. So what do you mean we're all equal? How can we all be equal? Some people are in very moral surroundings. Some people live amongst the immorality. They live amongst whatever it is. They live amongst the dregs of society. What can they learn except what they see around them? So what do you mean we're all equal? And the answer is because we're all equal in our ability to discern between good and evil and to choose, relative to where we are, good over evil. And that's the real equality, because that's the real greatness. A person who chooses good over evil, that is his greatness, that is his achievement, that is his world to come. Okay, he chooses good and then he's given another opportunity again, choose good or evil, and then he chooses and then again he's got another opportunity. And whether he's going up the ladder or down the ladder, if he keeps going up the ladder, his choices keep changing. If he keeps going down the ladder, his choices also keep changing at a different level. But it's all a matter of choice. Even a person who's a criminal, right? So even if he's a criminal, he can choose to act with extra cruelty. Right? Let's say, for instance, he's robbing a little old lady in the street, and suddenly she needs her asthma. She needs one of those things to put in her heart. So he can just slap her, or he can choose to maybe help her find that thing, that inhaler. Right? Okay. I mean, he's busy robbing her, but at the same time, he can do a bit of chesed. Right?
But they're
levels. You know, how cruel are you in your evil? Okay, how cruel are you? How evil are you? Right? Will you rob from a poor person who has nothing? Right? Or will you rob only from the rich? So there's a certain morality even
Robin
in criminals,
Hood.
Right?
There's a certain
There's always free choice. That's the whole point. There's always free choice. It's different for different people, but relative to where he is, it's an absolute choice between good and evil. Relative to his level, he chooses between what's good and what's.
We're all equal that way.
We all have that ability to discern good and evil and to choose.
No.
Right now, you're sitting in the class. Okay, so what choice of good and evil do you have? Well, you can choose to listen to the class, or you can choose to daydream. It's not. No one's going to see. No one's going to say anything, right? No one's going to know. So any situation is always there's the better choice, and there's the right? Maybe it's a better choice to do a daydream. I'm not saying maybe that's the better choice. Right? Okay. But there's any situation, you always have a number of ways to act. Person knocks at your door. So certainly you're going to give him tzedakah, but are you going to give him 1 shekel or 2 shekels? Are you going to give him 10 shekels or 12 shekels? Whatever it is. It's also a choice. The one relative to the other, they both tzedakah, but one relative to the other is the inferior choice. One is the superior choice.
But that's not discerning between.
That's good and evil. Relative. It's relatively. It's he's acting selfishly.
You give tzedakah, but then it doesn't make. You give how much you give. I mean,
definitely makes a difference.
Of course.
How much heart is there? How much heart are you giving? How much are you holding back from giving? And how much are you opening yourself to giving? Okay, so again, what is your calculation? So maybe you're holding back, and that's the noble thing to do. You're holding back because you're expecting other people.
Right.
So therefore, that's the noble thing to do. Whereas just to give the first person, and then you don't have anything to give. Maybe that's the less noble thing to do. But there's always the more noble act, and there's the less noble act. That for sure is correct. And that's every person has that. So therefore, this is what Hashem wants. He wants that we should be able to discern between good and evil and to choose good. And that's our choice, right? And we see the two, and then we choose the better option over the inferior option. And that's why it's placed within us these two forces together. We have a desire to give. We like to give. It's nice to give. Every person enjoys giving. It feels noble. And we also have a desire to take. And we also like taking. And we want to take. So therefore, we have these two forces within us, and we make a choice. We have to how do you conduct yourself? How do you act? And therefore, he's placed within him the ability, and he's urging him in a sense to choose to use the force of giving and to distance himself and to control himself and to move away from his desire to take. And that is his success in this world and the next. Right? In this world, where the person chooses to be a giver, so that's how he sees his own work, it's his own doing. He by himself is choosing to do the noble act as opposed to doing the more selfish, self-centered type of act. So therefore, that is his success in this world and in the next world. Vaze omra Torah, and in this we have a pasuk in the Chumash. I have placed before you life and death, and I want you to choose life. Hashem says, choose life. He has life and death, right? Doing the right thing is called life, because that's Hashem's way. Hashem does the right thing. Hashem is the noble one. So therefore, acting in a noble way is clinging to Hashem, coming closer to Hashem, and therefore it's life. Atem hadveikim Hashem Elokeim. You cling to Hashem. How do you cling to Hashem? You cling to His ways. You act in noble ways. You act in godly ways, divine ways. So atem advekim b'Hashem elokeichem chayim kulchem alam. You're alive. You attach yourself to the source of life, and therefore you are alive, right? Whereas you, if we choose the opposite to the ways of Hashem, that's the way of death, and that leads to death. Ultimately, that's death. So therefore, Hashem places before us life or death, right? One is acting nobly, one is acting self-centeredly, selfishly. Right? And therefore that's... And then Hashem says to us, I want you to choose life. Okay, that's the first reason, says Rav Dessler, why we've been put in a world with other people where we are challenged with these challenges daily. Right? Do I act as a giver or do I act as a taker? B'shein is, and the second reason is, ki'ilu lo hayu bnei odom chevratim. The second reason, if people were not social creatures, if we did not interact with other people, and we did not live in a society, if we didn't need anyone, if you never need anyone, you're totally independent, you don't see anyone, you don't need anyone, you manage by yourself, and we were never dependent on each other, there would be no ability to express the desire to give. There'd be no opportunity to give. If you'd have no one to give to, so then that would go unused. That desire to give to others, to help others, that would go unused. There'd be no one to give to. There'd be no one who need for you to help. Who's he going to give to if there's no one to receive from him? If you live in this very wealthy society, ideal society, so you know, no one asks anyone else. You know, no paupers come into that neighborhood. They don't dare to. Right? The gods are there. Right? And people don't need each other. Everyone's got everything, so they never see their neighbor. They never need their neighbor. I think I heard from your husband, Rabbi Herman, many years ago. He said, well, you're supposed to be speaking about a new neighbor who comes into a new person comes into the neighborhood. So he says, you know, go knock on your neighbor's door and ask for a cup of sugar. I'll manage by myself. No, go make contact with other people. Go and interact with other people. Even if you're looking for an excuse, create that connection with other people. Don't isolate yourself. Don't cut yourself off from others. So that's only going to be possible if we live in a society. And that's the answer. Those are the two answers that he gave the student. If Hashem doesn't want us to be takers, why doesn't he prevent us from being takers? And the answer is, he wants, that's our test, that's our challenge. And also, being in society allows us to be givers. So then one of the students came back to Rav Dessa and asked him as follows. If so, right, in Kain Hu Sha'in Matsius Lanois and built in Yegam Asher Ikabel Memena. He said, if it's not possible for a person to be a giver unless there's someone to receive from him, Halo Yesh Gamara Rabba Mamaisanois. So it comes out that the giver is doing an evil act. But why? He says Chaveru Lanois, because he's making his friend into a taker. If I'm giving to someone, so net society, because it demands that people need help, so therefore the person who's receiving my help is a taker. So therefore I'm also encouraging taking. So how are you perfecting society? It's true, I'm the giver, but he's the taker. So therefore the society is still all crooked, because they're going to be, we're encouraging taking as well. Right? It's available for taking. So take. You have a table full of good things, right? The best, you know, all the best pastries, etc. So you know, say dig in, no? So people start digging in, right? So that's so you're encouraging them to be, you know, greedy in a sense. So therefore, how's society the remedy to the problem? Because giving also results in taking. And also, anyway, the student said, it's impossible for the whole world to be remedied, because even if all the people in the world were givers, so who's going to receive? If everyone wants to be a giver, no one's taking, everyone's only giving, so who's he going to give to? Because no one's taking. So it's like selling products, you know, you open a store and you want to sell a product, but no one buys it. If I guess that person opens a shop in Kyotsevi, he's selling ski equipment, right? Mm-hmm. And surfboards, right? Yes. Right? And you know, he's opened up this big shop here, yeah? Right? He's expecting, where are the customers? Why is no one coming into his store? So therefore, if we live in a perfect society, everyone's a giver, so who's going to take? So what? How's it going to work? So that was what the student asked. Says Rav Dessler, V'hinei she'elus yofuiz shol. He's asking very nice questions, very good questions. Aval, ha'mamik lachshuiv, yimtze sha'inyin nisbari be'atzma. Someone who thinks a little bit more deeply about this shaila will see that this matter is clarified by itself. It works out by itself. We can understand it by ourselves. The zehu, and the idea is that the key idea, the hinge here is hefresh godel yesh bein hamekabel ubein hanoitel. There's a very big difference between receiving something and taking. Right? If you're receiving, that doesn't necessarily mean you're taking. If someone's giving to you and you're receiving, so that's not taking. I'm just receiving. Someone wants to give me, and I'm receiving what they're giving me. That's not an act of taking. It's just receiving, and the two are very much different. And similarly, there's a difference between one who gives and someone who it's taken from him. It's also different. If I'm giving something, that's not the same as if someone's taking something from him. It's true. Let's say what I have is being taken is. Right, I had it before, now I don't have it, but the mode is different. One is that I chose to give what I had. Right, let's say I had a coin in my pocket, I chose to give it away. And the other is that it was taken from me. I didn't want to give it away, but they took it away from me. So in both cases, I lost the coin that I had. But it's totally different, because one, I chose to act to give it away, and the other is I didn't want to give it away, but it was forced. It was someone snatched it from me. They took it away from me by force. I was forced to give it away. I didn't want to give it away. I was forced to give it away. You're forced to pay taxes. You know, you don't want to pay taxes, but the tax man comes, you have to pay. So that's not exactly, you don't consider that a donation, that you paid the electrical bill. That's not, you know, I gave a donation to the electrical company. I had to pay my. So therefore, that's a big difference. So there's a difference between receiving and taking, and there's a difference between giving and having something taken from you. And we should not mix the two together. They're very, very different. And now we're going to explain as follows. There's a person who is a taker, and also others take from him. And he is a person who wants to take. That's really his interest, is in taking. Where he's taking, it comes from his self-centeredness, from his love of himself. He loves himself, and therefore he wants as much as possible for himself, and he's looking to take for himself as much as possible. And he'll take as much as he can take, and without giving anything in return, because he's a taker. He's only looking to take. He's not interested in anyone else. He's only interested in himself, and he will take as much as he can take without giving anything. And if others do take from him, because he can't help himself, he can't do anything about it. In other words, he wants groceries, but the store won't sell him groceries unless he pays for the groceries. So he has to pay. What can he do? If they were for free, he would take them. He would take them without paying. But he has to pay for it. He's not a thief. We're not talking about a thief. So he has to pay for it. So he'll pay for it. But he's not. It's not an act of giving. He was forced to give. He was forced to pay for the goods that he wanted, and he needed the goods. So that's not called giving. That's called taking as well. It's just to enable his taking. Sometimes he has to give away some money. So that's also part of his act of taking. He's a consumer. He's a customer. He's not considered a supporter of the store. He's taking from the store. It's just he has to pay. What can he do? That's our one type of person. That is our taker. So sometimes he gives, but that's not called an act of giving. It's really just to make possible his taking. That's the one type of person. And then the other type of person is also v'yesh asher yitain v'gam yikav. Then you have the person who is the giver, and also he receives. And also he receives. He's the person who really wants to give all the time. He wants to give. He is the giver. Where his act of giving comes from a source of goodness in his heart. Right? There's a desire to help others, desire to give to others, desire to encourage others, that others should also do well. He wants to help others. Right, and then when he is forced to receive, right, you help someone out and he got a gift. Right, he helped his neighbor out, and at the end of all the help, the neighbor came and brought him a gift in appreciation. So therefore, that's part of his giving. Obviously, he's going to have to accept the gift. If he would refuse the gift, the neighbor would be insulted. Right, the person's giving you a gift as a show of appreciation, so you're receiving the gift. That's not called an act of taking. I'm not taking from him. In fact, on the contrary, when I receive from him, that's part of my giving to him. I'm encouraging him. He's going to give to me, and I'm going to praise him and say, oh, thank you very much, and wow, you're so generous, and what a beautiful gift, just what I needed. Yeah, just what I needed. So you're going to, your act of taking is not act taking, it's just receiving, and you're going to turn it into an act of giving, because you're going to help him feel as good as possible about what he's done. You encourage him to also to be a giver like yourself. So that act is a give itself. You're training others to give. It doesn't turn you into a taker, even though you're receiving things from others. You're not a taker. So that's how we see that really receiving and taking are totally different. So the explanation is like this. We've explained that he's just enlarging the idea a little bit more. Both types, the giver and the taker, right? The taker, the giver and the taker, bal koyach and the sinner, the kamokain gam bal koyach and the tila, shnei mishalmim avu mashi yegi alehim bereva pam. Both of them, most times, are paying for what they receive. Most times, they're both paying for what they receive, and that's really also true. You have to pay for what you receive. Ultimately, it costs you one way or another way. Whatever you receive, you basically have to pay for. In one way or another way, you pay for it. So therefore, they're both paying for what they receive. But the difference is in the attitude. The giver is the person who doesn't want to take without paying. No, let me pay you. Let me pay you. Don't give it to me for free. Let me pay you. So the giver is the person who doesn't want to take, he doesn't want to receive without paying in return. And at least he's going to make sure he's going to repay him with gratitude. If I can't repay you with money, at least he's going to show gratitude for what he's received. So therefore, that's also, he's looking to give. Even though he's receiving, he's looking to give as well. But whereas the taker, the taker doesn't want to pay anything. Just when they won't give him unless he pays, then perforce he'll pay. But there's no desire to give to the other person. There's no desire to pay the other person. It's just he's forced. What can he do? And seeing that the giver is going to pay back with his appreciation, right? As a result, it won't develop in him the desire to take. If you receive a gift, And when you receive the gift, you show proper appreciation and you're thankful and grateful. So therefore, that will not encourage you to become a taker, even though you just received the gift. But the fact that you're paying for it, right, with appreciation, with thanks, and with, you know, it doesn't have to be open appreciation. Even sometimes when you daven for someone, it's also giving to him, even though he doesn't know about it. Right? When you bless someone else, I think they said about Rav Sonnenfeld, that once one of his students was walking with him, this was in the old days in Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about 100 years back, 80 years back, so they saw a parade of Zionist youth marching, right, marching youth, and they were standing to the side, and of course these kids were all very proud of themselves, marching down the street in their whatever they were wearing. So he saw that his lips are muttering. The student saw that Rav Sonnenfeld, his lips were moving. So he wanted to hear what he's saying, so he went a bit closer. He heard he was blessing these children, that they should succeed, they should do well, right, that Hashem should be pleased with them. He was blessing them. That's an act of giving. They didn't hear him, they never received it. They'd receive, of course they received it. He is giving, he's doing an act of giving. He was blessing them. Jewish children, face, whatever, they're a little bit lost, but they're still Jewish children. They're still in our family, they're still part of the family. So therefore, even if we are forced to, even if someone gives you a gift, and obviously you receive the gift, you're not going to embarrass the person by refusing a gift. So if you're properly appreciative, that does not bring out in you the ability to be a taker. That does not turn you into a taker. That doesn't make you a taker. Even though you're receiving, that doesn't make you into a taker. You can still remain a noble person. In gam harbe yikav me'achem, even if you're receiving a lot from other people, right, there was once a student asked his Rebbe, who was getting married, he says, you know, they're going to give me gifts, what do I do? He says, one who hates gifts will live. He says, you know, I shouldn't take. The Rebbe says, if there's a custom to receive, it's okay. You could receive gifts, it's okay. There's a custom to receive. Okay, so even if you're forced to take, it doesn't mean it's going to make you into a taker. That's really. Now, v'zeh dov ha'olam ha'mekulkal. And now, according to what we've said, so we have the world that is the spoiled world, the world, the rotten world. The world that's a rotten world is Yubu Boi Hanoitlin, where there are many takers. Everyone's looking to take. Everyone's trying to take advantage of the other one. Everyone's trying to get the one up on the other. And he's gonna show him. Yubu Kol Hanoitlin, Asher Yikchul Yechtefu Ish Mireu, where you have people who are takers and they're looking only to snatch and to take advantage of others. They're looking to, right, to be smarter than others or to take more. Say the chevrati kaze hu asher yabe sakina v'tachus. If you have a society like that, where everyone's only looking out for number one, everyone's looking to get as much as possible for himself, so therefore that's the type of society where there's a lot of jealousy, there's a lot of competition, there's a lot of envy. V'yabe lidei milchomes v'tzichus. And such a society eventually can lead to a situation of war, right? One society is jealous of another society. One country is jealous of another country, so what do? They invade them. Right? Look how wealthy and prosperous they are, and look how poor we are. Let's invade them. Right? That's also a type of taking, it's a type of theft. So therefore it'll lead to war, it'll lead to murder, because you know I don't have and he has, and I want what he has, so I'm gonna take it from him. He's gonna resist, so I'll just kill him. Right? I want the money in his pocket. He's gonna say to me no, so I'll kill him, and then he'll give me the money in his pocket. Once I kill him, then he won't resist anymore. So therefore, that's the society where everyone is just looking to take advantage, to take from others. So that's a society which is basically is unhealthy, an unhealthy society which eventually will fall apart. The zeilus, verois, acts of theft, and evil, kamu bepegarishon. Each one's just trying to take advantage of that. That's a spoiled world. It's a corrupt world. However, the remedied world, the ideal world, the world that we are striving towards, and as we said before, the world could also be your own personal world, which is the people you're in contact with. So therefore, call Odom Nuise Numeti, this is the ideal. Each one is looking to give and to benefit the other, is looking to do good for the other. And his heart expresses a gratitude for what he received. We're not just talking about outward gratitude, just saying thank you. We're talking about inward gratitude. There's a feeling of within himself, he feels a love and a gratitude. Look what a nice person that is. Look how he thinks generously about other people. Look what a nice person that person is. It's generous thought about another person. Just because he's generous within himself in the way he looks at other people. He doesn't look at them with mean eyes, with squinted eyes, right? He looks at them, he sees the goodness in other people. So the whole society prospers. The whole society, because it's one encourages the other to be a good person. One person, you see the nobility of another person, so you want to match him with his nobility. One gives a gift, so the other one wants to give a gift, right? Each one comes to help, so another one comes to help. So that creates a society, a positive society. Rabbas HaShalom V'Ava, with a great increment of shalom, of peace, and tranquility, serenity, and love. There's a concern. One is concerned about the other. He's worried about the other. And that's really the society that Hashem desires. Okay, now there is a story he brings here to illustrate. I don't know if we're going to finish it, but let's at least start it. We'll see what we can do. Alright, there is a hint to this in a certain story that was brought by the Midrash. Kosuv Sham, I'll do it a little bit quicker. It says over there, Alexander Mokedon Halach El Melech Katsia. Right? Alexander the Great, the Macedonian, he went all over the world, he conquered the world. He once came to a certain king, the king of Katsia, Lachrei Hare Choshech, who lived after the mountains of, behind the mountains of darkness, was a small kingdom. Where there was this, the king of, there was a place called Katsia, a kingdom called Katsia. He vakish l'das eich donu sham is the name, and he wanted to know how do they run their society? How do they judge? How do they run? Right, part of running a society is the leader is a judge. He makes decisions, and he judges the people. So how do they deal with their people? He wanted to know. He was a politician, and he was a very highly intelligent man, Alexander, very very great man. And therefore, he wanted to know how they run their society. How do they judge their people over there? So it happened to be while he was there, two people came to the king of Katsia to be judged. What was the story? One of them had bought a field from his neighbor, from the other one. He bought a field and he found a treasure. A treasure. There was a treasure in the field. He was digging up the field, whatever, and there was a treasure. So his claim, he came before the court, that his intention was only to buy the land. He didn't want the treasure. So he wants the owner, the seller, should take the treasure back. I bought the field, I didn't buy the treasure. This is not my treasure. He should take it. The seller should come and take the treasure away. And the seller was saying, no, I sold the land as it is, whatever it contains is included in the sale. And the treasure belongs to the buyer, and he's not taking the treasure back, it belongs to the buyer, he sold him the land as is, there's a treasure, and that's part of the deal, it's yours. That was the dilemma. Who gets it? Neither of them wanted them. Each one wanted the other should take away the treasure. So the king of Katsia turned to these two men and he said to them, he asked them, do you have children? And he saw the one has a son and the one has a daughter. So the king's ruling was, the children should get married, the son and the daughter should get married, and they should get the treasure. And that was the judgment of the king. And with that, he sent them away. That's his ruling. The Roa Melech is Alexander Matmir Mashalu. So the king then looked over to Alexander, who was the bystander there, and he saw that he's got this very puzzled expression. He's like, looks amazed. He's totally stupefied, you know, by the king of Katsia. And he said, Ma lo tov danti. He says, I didn't rule well. My ruling is not a good ruling. If such a thing was happening by you, how would you have judged it? What would you have done things different? How would you have judged this case? What would you have done? Amale Alexander, said Alexander, and here you hear the Greek and the Roman society, right? The whole thrust of that society, says Alexander. We would have put both of them to death. Right? Both of them to death. And the government would have confiscated both of their properties, not just the treasure, everything, right? Both, right? That's how we would have treated such a case, right? Shal Oisa Melech Katsia, so the king of Katsia said to him, Ma'im Shemesh Rachas Etzlechem. So the king of Katsia said, tell me, does the sun shine in your land? Right? Amalo Haim? He says, yes, of course. Is Shalot Oshuv Hayesh Etzlechem Behemois? He says, do you have animals in your land? You have livestock, you have animals? Amalo Haim? He said, yes. Amal Melech Katsia, Alexander, Lebeschuschem, Yoyu Legeshem, Lebeschuschem, Hashemesh Rachasham. He said, no, that is not in your merit. That the rain rains and that the sun shines. You should know that the sunshine and the rain in your land is not because of the people there. It's only in the merit of the animals. Shenema, and that's a pasuk in Tehillim. Adam ubehema tashia Hashem, man and animal Hashem saves, which our rabbis interpret to mean Adam b'schus behema. Sometimes Hashem saves the people on account of the animals. Right? Even the people are big sinners. But the animals don't sin. Amidrash Yirelanu b'maseh anifla hazois. Right. So the Midrash is showing us about this amazing story. It's an incredible story. The whole story is like really quite a wow. That's a story. Es hamecha karava otzum shebena noisim la loitlim. This Midrash is illustrating the great difference between those who are givers and those who are takers. This is the illustration. Keshebo shnei noisim. Then these two givers came. Right, because each of them, right, they were both givers. Each one wanted to give the other one the treasure. Mm-hmm. Neither of them wanted to take from his friend, because each one felt, I was not entitled to it. I bought a field. I didn't buy a treasure. It's not fair. If this is yours, I don't want to take it. I don't want to take what I didn't pay for. You go into a store, my accident. Right, you paid for two product items. You come home, you saw there were three. Oh, yeah, I made a mistake. Oh, yeah, I have to go back. I don't want to take without paying. So he says, I didn't take a treasure. I bought your land. I paid you for the land. I didn't pay you for the fee. Take it away. It's yours. It's yours. Take it away. So he's looking. He's a giver. He's looking to do the right thing. Each one wants to do the right thing. And the other one said, no, I had it in mind to give you the field with whatever it contains. And therefore, I don't want to go back on what I had in mind. I had in mind that the field is yours. I forgot about that treasure. Truth. I forgot that I once buried that treasure there. But since I sold you the field, so therefore it's gone. I didn't have in mind it should be mine. I should take it back from you. I'm not taking it back. I'm not a crook. I gave you that field. It's your treasure. It was a real argument. I'm not taking it. It wasn't just, you know, two guys joking around. I'm not taking that treasure. It's not mine. I sold it to you. It's not mine. Leave me alone. Stop pounding me. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's yours. The kuveres mishpatim lifnei melech hanoisim. And these two people who are both givers came in front of a king who is a king of givers, right? In a kingdom of givers. Who done him? So he said you should join together, right? And right? In other words, be unified, right? Unify. Let them marry. Let your son with his daughter. Let ishtatfu, join together. Kikachi midas anoisni, because this is the attribute of the givers. Ishtatef benesina. The Gambe Kabbalah, to join people together in giving and also receiving. We said receiving is not taking. Receiving is not taking. You are Olam Shalem, and there's a perfect world. Imagine such an ideal world, right? The world itself, each one wants to help the other. Each one wants to give to the other. What a perfect world that will create. Belev Melech HaNoitlim HaYamish Padache. Where's the king of the takers? That was Alexander, who was the world conqueror. He's conquering this land. He's taking this, he's taking that, he's taking the other. Look how much he's taken. So in the heart of the king of the takers, Hayam Mishpat Acher, he had a different outlook on the whole thing. And he said, these people who want to be givers all the time, they no one's prepared to take advantage of the other. These people are destroying the world. With their morality, they're destroying the world. I think Hitler said something similar, right? The Jews with their morality, with their Jewish Torah, are destroying the world. That's not how you build a world. That's not the way to build a world. We have to get rid of these people. So therefore, these people are criminals in Alexander's eyes. You're going against our whole creed of our society. We want to advance, and we want to become as wealthy as possible. And these people are spoiling things. They're spoiling our society. So therefore, they have to be put to death. These are criminals. These people who want to, right? They're criminals. They should be put to death. The kol asher lahem, and all their property. And what do you do with a criminal, a rebel against the kingdom? So you confiscate his property. You put him to death. You confiscate his property. Ah, what about the kids and the wife and the kids that are left behind? Tough luck. That's not their problem. Gam levneim lo yeh ele yukach lemalchus. The kingdom should take it all. Aval nelech hanoistim boiz yovuz loy. However, the king of the givers scoffed him. And he said, Haloi behema teiva mincho. He said back to Alexander, your animals are better than you are. Im ata gam chayot yichye. If you're still alive today, right, because you're living against the whole creed of Hashem, the whole way of Hashem, you're living against that way of Hashem. So if you're still alive, because the way of taking, as we said before, is the way of death. So if you're still alive, it must be in the merit of the animals. There must be some nice animals there. They deserve that they should still be alive. And even the animals don't know how to do good. An animal that has no free choice. Right, we said before that even a non-Jew has free choice and has an ability to discern between good and evil. An animal doesn't really have that. It doesn't have free choice. So they don't know how to do good. But also on the other hand, they don't do evil either. Animals are not evil. Right? They don't do evil. They're not evil doers for the sake of evil. So therefore, at least they have merit that they're not evil doers. In Tzeinu Lemeidim Klalishal Dovas. Here we learn our general rule. Hanoitlim Marim Lezelezek. Those who are takers harm each other. They harm each other. They're looking to take advantage of each other. Kanoitl Oise Gamet Zesh and Notl Mimeno Lenoitl. And even if he robs an innocent person, he turns that innocent person that he robs from, he turns him also into a taker. Because that person wants to take revenge. He's going to take it back. And he gets upset. You know, look what he's done to me. So he's also riled up to react in a similar way. So the taker turns other people into takers. He says, he wants revenge, he wants to get back. That's natural also. You do to me, I want to do to you. So therefore the taker encourages other people to be takers. He turns the society into a society of takers. However, the givers, they perfect each other. They complete each other. Because the giver also turns that person who received from him also into a giver. Right? One who received from the giver sees the nobility of the giver, so he also wants to be a giver. He says, oh, look, I also want to be like that. Such a beautiful way of acting. I also want to look like that. When he'll see, he recognizes the goodness he's received from someone who's come to help him. And as we mentioned before, it's not just the actual gift itself. It's the desire to help. It's the encouragement. It's the smile. It's the goodwill. So therefore, he sees the beauty of the giver. He also wants to become a giver. And in this way, we can create a society of givers.